Would you go with me to the book of Ephesians again, chapter 6, verse 16. Good morning, everyone. This verse is just an amazing verse, and we're going to just read verse 16 and see what God is telling us this morning about the shield of faith. The Bible says here, it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And as we get to this point, we remember that God has been calling us to be strong in Him, and also to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand against the schemes of the devil. And so when we think of that, we know that we have a battle against the enemy, against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers on this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil. And then we look that God has given us the belt of truth, which we can fasten in our body, and then He's given us a breastplate of righteousness, and also He's given us the readiness given by the gospel of peace as truth, so that we can walk proclaiming that gospel and living in that gospel that has been transforming our lives. And those three aspects of our armor, they've been given to us, and we wear them all the time. We have them all the time by the power of God in our lives. And that's something that, although we clothe ourselves with it, we can, we're sure that we have it all the time. But now we come to a little deeper area here, I think, and it is in this verse when it says that in all circumstances we have to take up the shield of faith. And it reminds us again of a way in which we have to be active. And what this means is that we actively dress in the armor of God, and we come to the shield of faith that must be used in all circumstances of our Christian walk in order that we can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And so this shield that God is talking to us is a protection, and is faith. Faith is a shield that protects us, that covers us in the midst of trials, in the midst of circumstances. And the first thing we read is that it has to be wore and used in all circumstances. The King James Version says, above all. And that tells us that it's a primary defense of the soldier in battle. In the same way, the believer's trust in God provides the initial protection against the schemes of the devil, because we have that thing in front of us and it's protecting the darts that are coming to us. And so this is something amazing. There was not a complete armor that could be protecting every part of the body of the soldier in a practical and in a capable way. I mean, it was too heavy, impossible to walk, to move around. So you had the breastplate of to protect your body. You had your helmet. You had some of the aspects of protection. But, you know, there were still places that needed to be protected. So the soldier would have a big shield. They use a small shield at times. But when they were in full battle, they will have these big shields that were as big as a door. And sometimes when the soldiers died, they will be carried in these shields and taken back home by four soldiers. And if you think of this, you know, a shield is a way to protect yourself. And not only that, I was reading something very, very amazing. When these guys will go to battle, and they knew that the archers were ready and throwing those darts, those arrows, they will unite themselves and just build a shield for the whole army. And that talks to us about unity, how we can protect ourselves together in the midst of battle. So they came up with this new idea of putting some flaming liquid into these arrows. So when they hit the shields, they will somehow explode and lose some of that liquid. And that liquid will just turn into more fire and cover the shield in fire and drip fire into the feet. And sometimes they will just burn themselves alive as they were fighting. So the Roman soldiers put on the wood of that shield, they put a layer of leather on top of it. And before they go into battle, they will soak those shields. So when the arrows, the darts, the flaming darts came into the shield, they will actually just be extinguished over there. So we have a great picture of how the enemy is attacking the Christian and how we can be protected in that faith. So we've seen it in the movies, and we've seen how graphic and how powerful it is, the attack of the enemy. But we've also seen that we have the protection. And when we use it right, a shield can be lifted up, and you can point that shield into the direction of the attack, where the attack is coming, and that defends you and protects you. And what an amazing God that He's given us the ability to trust in Him and to be protected by faith. So this is what we're going to talk about this morning. And so the shield of faith not only stops the attack of the dart, but extinguishes its fire. And when we think of this, you know, faith and that protection that faith gives us in the spiritual warfare and in this Christian journey, it all boils down to faith. It all comes down to faith. Faith is the way in which we come to the Lord. Faith was the reason that made you wake up this morning at 6:30 or whatever time you woke up and to show up to this place, because you trust that God has something for you. Because you know that God is calling you to do it. And you have enough faith to exercise it and to act in His journey. But when you are in the battle, you have to say, God, how am I trusting and believing in You in order for that shield of faith to be being used in my life? So it all boils down to faith. And faith is essential. In which way? Why is faith essential in our Christian walk? Well, first of all, because faith pleases God. That's the way in which we come to the Lord and we receive His grace upon our lives. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If you don't have faith, you will not please the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever will draw near to God, first of all, he needs to believe that He exists, that God exists, and that He rewards those who seek Him. So we believe that God is real. We believe that He is mighty, that He's powerful, that He's calling us to follow Him. And then we also believe that He rewards us, that He has a promise for us. And so when we do that, we please Him. And just prior to this verse, verse 6 in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we read in the Bible that by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Think about this. When Abel went to the Lord to offer that sacrifice, it pleased the Lord. Because he believed, with this gift, I'm going to please my God. So there was faith over there. And not only that, we also read by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So, you know, we know some aspects of Enoch. He was taken up to heaven because he pleased God. And the way he did it was because he had faith in God. So faith pleases God. Another aspect of this fundamental idea of faith is that faith gives us access to His gifts and rewards. And I mean, the greatest asset, the greatest gift that we receive from God through faith is that everyone who receive Him, who believe in His name, according to John 1:12, He gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. And this is an act of faith. We were enemies of God. We knew that we were far from God, but when we believe in Him and we set our faith in God, on that very moment, God gave us the ability to be born of the Spirit. Something amazing. Not of blood, not of this world, but of a supernatural power that gives us the right to be right with God and to be His children. So, and you know, there's nothing that stops the blessing of God more than our unbelief. And that's something that we should stop and just consider. Because faith is the access in which we get the gifts of God and the blessings of God. But when we don't have that faith, we stop the blessing of God in our lives. In the book of Mark, and I want you to go with me in your Bibles. You don't have this in your notes, but this is an amazing story. And God wanted us to see this and to know this. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He put this in three books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in different ways. We're going to read the story here in Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. And this is the time when Jesus went to His town, and He proclaimed the gospel to them. And And by this time, Jesus has already started his ministry. He's been proclaiming in other villages and communities. He's been doing miracles already, performing miracles. But when he got to his town, it was a very, very different thing here. It says he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things from? What is the wisdom given to him? How were such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter?" Think of this. These people had seen Jesus in his hometown. They saw him while he was working on the carpentry. Many of them probably grew up with him, his cousins, his brothers, his friends. And it says, "Is not this a carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So his family, they knew his family, his brothers, his sisters. And so they said, "They are among us. And how is it that Jesus is performing all these miracles all over the places where he goes? Why is that?" They were astonished, first of all, so that those miracles that were taking place, to some extent, they were astonishing them, but actually, in the bottom part of their hearts, they did not believe. They were like, "I don't think so. This is a real man. This is just a regular guy. We saw him growing up. This can't be." And then it says, and they took offense at him. See, when we don't believe in God, we blame God. We accuse God. We neglect God. We accuse him of things that are not right because we don't have the faith. We don't have the understanding to trust in him. And it says, and Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." So when you look at these verses, God did not do miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. How many times in our lives we choose not to trust in God, not to believe in him? Our faith is weak or is unfailing. And we have stories in the Bible when this happened. Abraham was told, "I will give you an inheritor. You will have a son of your wife Sarah." But then he weakened in his faith. Then he failed to believe the Lord. And he went out of the will of the Lord to have a child with Hagar. And look how that ended up. Because he didn't trust in God. He didn't believe in God. God was testing his faith. And I'm sure the enemy came and told him, "God is not going to do it. You're too old. What are you thinking? Go ahead and do it. This is your chance. Maybe next year you're not going to be able to do it." So he walks away from God. He does things in his flesh. And he ends up obstructing the plan of God. And I mean, look at the consequences. There are always consequences when we don't trust in the Lord, when we don't believe in God. These people in Nazareth, they choose not to believe in Jesus at that very moment. And Jesus didn't do much miracles over there, many miracles over there. And he marveled because of their unbelief. So right now, you know, as we're facing this, we understand we are the target of the enemy. We understand we are under a battle all the time. We understand that it's constant, that it's coming at us, and that we have to trust in God. But we need to say, "God, stir up my faith. Are there any ways in my life in which I quit believing you? Maybe I'm not praying anymore for those things that I was praying in the past. Maybe I'm not seeing your hand of protection around my life, and I'm tending to go and protect myself in my own way." And that's wrong. So we want to have the faith that God is calling us to have. So faith pleases God. Faith gives us access to his gifts and rewards. And then faith gives us the victory over Satan in the world, which we're reading. God is telling us, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." It's protection against Satan, but also the victory over the world. In the book of John, 1 John, the letter of 1 John 5:4, the Bible says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." You're born again by faith, and once you're born again, now you will overcome the world. Through that faith, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's the victory. God is for us. Yet we have to exercise faith. And praise God when He gives us the ability to trust in Him. In my own life, when I became a Christian at a young age, I had a lot of challenges around me from people, from circumstances around me. And I remember even my own father telling me, "You're not going to make it. It's impossible. Right now, it seems okay for you to be a Christian. You're a young boy." And I remember one day when my uncle came and told me, he said, "You are a Christian right now because you're 13 years old. But when you be 16, 17, 18 years old and you be facing the temptations and the challenges of this world, I want to see if you're still a Christian." And praise God that He gave me the faith to continue to trust in God. And really, those words were just, I knew the attack of the enemy was coming. I knew. So I said, "God, I'm going to trust in You." And when those temptations come, and when everybody is wild and drinking or experiencing things out in the world, I want to be focusing You. And I trusted in God. I believe in God by the supernatural grace of Him. I did. And you know, God is able to sustain us. God is able to protect us. God is able to keep us focused. But we have to choose to believe. We need to choose to believe. And we need to say, "God, what's Your goal in my life? What is it?" And you know, the way that God does this, it amazes me, because sometimes God will put a passion or maybe a vision in your life. And that becomes a mission in your life. And you start praying for something. You start believing that that's the direction in which God is calling you to go or calling somebody else to go. But then when you start trusting and praying about those areas in which God is calling you or giving you a vision, what happens is God makes you a collaborator with Him, a participant of His gifts. And then He says, "I want you to do it." You're believing, you're trusting, you're praying. "I want you to go because this is the call." God has plans for our lives. But we need to set our eyes in Jesus and trust in Him every day. Think about this. Look at the room this morning. How many of us are here present? If we were able to see the directions and the direction and the purposes and the areas in which God is calling us to succeed for His kingdom, okay? Not in our own flesh, not in our selfishness, but in His kingdom. With 12 men, Jesus was able to change the Roman Empire in few years. These were young guys who had, you know, a very small beginning, we may say. But they trusted in Jesus, and they turned the world upside down in few decades. Because they believed the power of Jesus was accessible to them. They trusted in Him and they didn't look back. They didn't. It cost them everything, but that's the way we need to trust in God. Because that's the way we're going to see the miracles of God taking place in our lives. I want to trust in God. I want to believe in God. And I encourage you to do it as we're going through this. Especially when we're talking about the battle, because the enemy is going to do anything he can to stop us. To say, "You know, this is not the time of God to move. This is another time. Chill down. What are you talking about? We're living in a different culture. Nobody's going to listen to you. You don't have it. You don't have what it takes to do Christianity. Leave that to the leaders of the church, to the prophets, to the evangelists. You got to do your job. You have a family to raise. You have a lot of challenges in your life. But if you trust God, you will see His mighty power in your life." And that's what we aim for. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." What Pastor Doug was telling to Brad, we are the target of the enemy, and faith is a way to avoid being hit. We are the target. At all times, as well as in every area of our Christian life, faith in God is vital. We need faith. As we pray, we need faith. There are times when we pray for something and then we start facing challenges and we say, "Well, maybe this is not the time for healing. Maybe this is not the time for transformation. Maybe this is not the time for restoration." But let me tell you, God is active right now in our midst. The biggest miracle for us is to experience salvation and to see it taking place in other lives. And if God is able to change a corrupted person, a fleshly person that is under the corruption of the enemy in darkness, into a new creature and make him live in righteousness. What a miracle. That's the biggest miracle we can see. New life. And many people will say, well, God is not doing miracles. The miracles are gone. If we start in disbelief, doubting the miracles of God, where are we going to end up? God is powerful. God is mighty. When we pray, as we persevere in His purpose, and especially as we face constant challenges that are directed to us by the enemy. So taking up the shield of faith is not only a command, but it's our duty. The duty of the Christian soldier. And if you are in a battle, you must have the shield. You must handle it correctly. You must master it with the ability that God is giving you, for your life depends on this shield. That's the way that you're going to be protected in God. Now, faith is essential, but how do we define faith? We define faith according to the Bible in Hebrews 11, 1 and verse 1, especially in 2. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's being sure that the thing that we're hoping for is going to be real. The conviction of things not seen. Being under the conviction that what we don't see is going to take place. For by it, the people of old receive their commendation. Now, I want to stop a little bit here, and I want to tell you, it's not just having faith in faith. It's not having faith that everything is going to be okay just because I said everything is going to be okay. No. That conviction and that assurance of the thing that we're hoping for is because we know His promises. So if we're going to define faith, we need to know what God says, first of all. Then we need to know who God is, and then we need to act upon it. Those three aspects we're going to walk here according to these verses. And the first of it is knowing what God says or believing in God's promises. Do I know His promises? And in today's theology, we struggle between presumption and unbelief. We go from one extreme to the other. And we do that often in our lives. Sometimes we presumption, we act like, God, you're going to do this. I need it. I want to trust in it. But it's something that God is not calling you to have. And when we say, well, God says that if I had the faith that's a grain of mustard, I can talk to this mountain and say, mountain, be removed and be planted in the sea. Well, you got to understand the mountains, and you got to see which mountains is God calling you to remove. God has a plan. This is the book where we see the plan. And it's amazing to understand that many people trust or believe something that is not biblical. They're walking in presumption. And as David says, God, forgive us, protect us from presumption sin. Now, the other aspect of it is unbelief. And you know, all of us struggle with faith. And faith is a process. It's a process as Jesus told the man, just have faith. And he said, I have faith, but help my unbelief. And praise God that we see places in the Bible and illustrations in the Bible where God is increasing the faith in the process of the Christian walk. But unbelief is when God has spoken and He has said, this is what I call you to do, and yet we don't believe and we don't obey the Lord. And we feel like this is not the time. Maybe God is not able to use me. God is able, in spite of your failures and problems. We're not competent of ourselves. That's not the question. We know we're not competent of ourselves. But the question is God able? Is He powerful? Yes, He is. The correct faith is when we set our heart on what God has said, we trust Him, and we start acting upon it. And we say, God, I will believe what you told me. Even though everybody around me is saying that's impossible, that's not going to happen. Everything we do it by faith. We're going to plant a church. We're going to start a Bible study. We're going to have a Christian school. We're going to have a Hispanic ministry. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to disciple people. We're going to go to this conference. We're going to teach them the Word of God, and we're going to expect them to listen to it and to believe it. It's by faith. The moment when you stop believing in the Lord, you're going to stay in your house, and you're going to start living for the enemy. And that's exactly where the enemy wants us. He wants us to be put in a place where we're not efficient or competent for Jesus Christ. But He's calling you. He's calling me. And we got to rise up and we got to believe it. That bumper sticker that says God said it and I believe it, that settles it. It's a good bumper sticker. But let me tell you, God said it, that settles it. That's it. Whether I believe it or not. God said it. And I got to say, God, you are calling me to do something. Maybe I don't believe it, but that's really what it is. And if I'm not acting upon it, then I'm acting in disobedience. And that's a very challenging thing. When I think of the ability of God, is there anything too difficult for God? Can God still open the Red Sea? Absolutely. I mean, can God still take us up as He did to Enoch? I mean, He's God, right? He's the sustainer of the universe. Think about that. This morning, as we wake up, we get accustomed to all these things. We get used to it. The sun was rising up. But if you slow down and if you read the Bible, it did because Jesus is sustaining the universe. He's acting in our behalf. He's giving us another day to worship Him, to trust Him, to disciple people around us, to make a difference around us. He's faithful to us, even though we are faithless, but we need to grow in faith. When we do that, then that's when we see the big picture and we say, God, I know that I can trust you with my finances. I know that I can trust you with my family. I know that I can trust you with sickness in my life or affliction that is taking place in my life. You know, and sometimes God will just give you that focus. You know, it's a supernatural thing, but sometimes you have to motivate yourself through the Word. In the last few weeks, in our home, we've been experiencing sickness and different challenges. And just 2-3 weeks ago, I was praying and I was reading the Word of God. And I all of a sudden just felt this stirring in my heart to believe in God. And I said, God, is this really you? I don't want to act in presumption. Is this really you that you're calling me to trust in you? And really, God was just putting it in my heart to pray for my wife and to start trusting in Him and to continue to believe that He is able to heal, to move mountains. But sometimes, you know, we get used to problems and we feel like, well, that's the way I have to live. I don't have a way out of this. And there are times when the trial is going to be there for months, for years, and we don't understand everything. His thoughts are bigger than our thoughts, right? His ways are bigger than our ways. But then sometimes you steer yourself in the Lord and you say, God, you're able. Open my eyes to see. Open my heart to believe. And so I start praying to the Lord. And as I start praying and going through the Scriptures, there was this great deal of faith that God just put in my heart. And I'm trusting in God. And I see myself there and I feel like, God, thank you. This faith that I'm experiencing right now, I didn't have it 4 or 5 weeks ago. But I thank you, Lord. And it's only God moving in our behalf and acting upon us. But we have to motivate ourselves with that. Now, the second part, the first part is knowing what God says, believing in His promises. Now, the other thing is believing in God's character. And we believe that God is mighty. He is powerful. There's nothing too difficult for God. But also, we believe in His love. We believe that He's got something good for us. That He's a benevolent and gracious God. And that's something that we have to experience only through the relationship that Jesus Christ has enabled us to have. It's assurance and conviction that what He says is a reality. And He's good for us. We are basing our faith on the character of the unchanging, powerful, magnificent, and supernatural God. And I want to challenge you with this idea. If we were to really, honestly, if we were to evaluate men in the Bible or even the men in history and say, and interview him or ask him, is there any time when God failed you? When God did things for you that were inefficient or for bad in your life that brought destruction or pain or condemnation in your life? No. When I think of this, you know, God is flawless. Everything He does in the life of man is to enable them to receive more. And yet there's a time when disbelief takes place and rejection to God and there's condemnation. And we live under the circumstances of unbelief, under the consequences of unbelief. And really, we read in the Bible, the light came to the world. But men loved darkness more than the light. Why? Because their actions were evil. So they rejected God, and that's the condemnation upon the world, that they didn't want really to receive anything from God. But when man has chosen to trust in God, there will always be a positive and beneficial fruit in their lives. I believe in that. And that's because God's character is good. He is good. He's flawless. So in the book of Psalms 16, verse 1 and 2, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." So I'm trusting in you. Guard me, protect me. And then the second part, I say to the Lord, "You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are the sovereign Lord over my life. And then I have no good apart from you." Have you come to that conviction in your life? Have you? When you say, you know what? I know there's nothing good in my life apart from God. God has plans for your life. And those plans are to prosper you. In His way, in His will, in His plan, in His time. In the area where He's calling you. And when you come to that kind of faith, you know, that's going to help you to focus on God and to say, God, I was trusting in your power and in your mighty hand, but I was still acting in my own way because I thought I had a better way than what you have for me. But when you come to this kind of faith, you say, God, I know that your way is better for me no matter what it seems like. That's the kind of faith we need to have. When I think of this, you know, I can come with a thousand conclusions of how my life could have ended up without God. And there are many endings, but the best one is this one, where I'm grabbing the hand of God, and sometimes blindly I'm saying, God, whatever you say. I don't like it, I don't understand, I don't see what's going on, but I trust in you, so I will walk in your will. This is a better outcome for me. There's no good for me apart from God. No matter what the world presents, no matter what the flesh tells me, it doesn't matter what I read in other books, it doesn't matter what science tells me or humanism, I believe that God's way is better for me, so I'm going to act on it. That's the next thing we see. So the emphasis of faith is not in our ability to believe, but on the power, first of all, the character, and then the will of God. So if we trust that He's powerful, and if we trust that His character is good, and He's got the best for us, then we're going to start acting in that faith, obeying and following God's will. When we struggle to obey the Lord, as I said, it all boils down to faith. It's because we say, yes, God is real. Yes, God exists. Yes, this is the book for believers. Yes, I trust that God is mighty. But somehow there's doubt that God has the best for you. That's why you don't follow His way. But when you have those aspects clear in your mind, you follow God's word. And His direction becomes your provision. In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says that as the gospel was increasing in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and in the early church, many, many people were just coming to the Lord. Disciples were growing. And it says, and many of the priests were obeying the faith. And that's an amazing line right there. Many of the priests were obeying the faith because faith that has no action is incomplete. That's the book of James tells us that. If we say we believe it, we're not acting on it, it's not faith. It's not whole faith. It's not complete. I believe it, I will act on it. So His direction is our provision. There is no better way than God's way for our lives. So we will follow it. We will obey Him. We submit ourselves to the Lord. We resist the devil, and he will flee. In the book of Psalm 18:30, it says, "This God, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. It proves true every time. He is a shield for those who take refuge in Him." I will obey Him. I got conviction that He is perfect, that His word is true, and that He is a shield for those who trust in Him. Our faith is a declaration of what we think about the character of God. Or the lack of faith, for that matter. If we don't have faith, and we're not acting according to that, to what we claim we say we believe, then that's just a declaration of where we are. I trust in God. Well, then why don't you obey it? I believe in Jesus Christ. Then why don't you do His commandments? He's telling you, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. I trust Him, but I can't do this, God. You're declaring that He's not good enough for your life. That He doesn't have it. So that's what we need to go. We need to root them down to the Lord and to believe in Him. Once we seek for His miracles, but now we seek for the Lord Himself. Once we seek for blessings and for things that we thought were nice for us, but now we say, God, it doesn't matter what you're calling us to go or to do. We trust in Him. Do we believe that He is good? Do we prove with our faith that He is the best option we have for our lives? God is opening His heart, His hands, and His blessings to us all the time. So we need to trust in Him. Real faith contradicts our pride. We are in a place where it's difficult sometimes to trust the Lord because we are very independent. There's a lot of individualism in our land, in our county, in our community. Sometimes people say, this is a self-made man. He got over there by his own strength. And you know, that's not what we want to be. We want to be men that always acknowledge the power and the grace of God. And we say, God, I'm here because of your grace, because I depend on you every time in my life. And the more we do that, the more we trust in God, the more He's going to open the channel of blessing for us. Let's trust in the Lord. Every day. Let's say, God, you're still moving. Let's seek for those manifestations of God in our lives, in our family, for miracles. God is able. Sometimes God has to surprise us, doing miracles, you know, even when we don't expect them, when we don't have the faith. Sometimes someone comes to the Lord even when we feel like this is not going to happen. God opens their heart and they do it. But you know, let's trust Him. And let's act and proclaim the gospel every day as if that person that is listening to us is going to repent and surrender his life to the Lord. And if they don't, we say, God, this didn't, but we still trust that you will do something miraculous in my life. You can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil with the shield of faith if you are under a battle. Don't believe the enemy. The fiery darts of the devil are coming to us on a constant basis. They're aiming to discourage us, to afflict us, to destroy us. The enemy, the thief, came to steal, to kill, to destroy. But God has come to give us life, eternal life. Now, in this verse, in Ephesians 6:16, Paul states that the only proper solution to this flaming dart is the shield of faith. So we must hold it, grab it, raise it up on high. We must learn not to be controlled by anything other than God. Not by success, or the idea of success in this world. Not by our pride or our fears. We have fears of failure, of not having what it takes, of health, or of people, what people is going to think, what they're going to say. No. We got to say, God, I will trust in you. And nothing is going to control me. And the risk and danger and problems that are in front of my life and even the risk that I have to take, those are things that God is placing in our lives to test us and to see if we are willing to trust in Him. To still believe Him. And think about this. I mean, Moses comes out of Egypt and he's going over to the promised land. And where does God choose him to go for? To the sea. And when he gets close to the sea, the army of Egypt is coming behind him. And he gets to a point where he has to say, God, do I still believe you? Do I still trust that you will come through? And he's begging the Lord. He's doubting God over there. He's saying, God, now what? And God says, walk. Walk to the water. And it's when we walk, when we act in that faith, that we will see the open sea. We must learn to trust in God. In Psalm 5:12, it says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. A man that fully trusts in God will never be afraid of anything or anyone. And even in the midst of fear, he will still trust the Lord. God gives the greatest protection that any person can receive. Yet that person must trust in him first. And we have a salvation in the, that has been given to us. I want to finish with this Bible verse in 1 Peter 1. It says that the salvation that God has given us, we have it by faith. And then it says, in these, in verse 6, you rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are being tested. But that faith that we have is going to keep us aiming to the same direction always, Jesus Christ, until he comes and manifests himself to everyone in this world. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that when the world says it's impossible, we still trust in you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that there's a measure of faith, Lord, that you place in our heart to believe, to start trusting in you, Lord. It was a gift to us. But Lord, we want to put our faith in you. And if our faith is little, just as a grain of mustard, Lord, but it's aimed at you, and you are the object of our faith, Lord, we will succeed. We will succeed. Not because of our faith, because of your power, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And so we pray that we will be steered and motivated through your word and even the challenges that we have around us to trust in you more and more and more. And that as we go forward, Lord, every day of our lives, we will know that the enemy has no access to us. He's done. You are finished, Jesus Christ. You're giving us the strength to overcome any temptation, any problem, any challenge by your grace. We worship you, Lord. We worship you for this faith that you've given us. To believe in you, in your magnificent power, and in your love for us. Thank you. We adore you now. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.